A gaggle of gays gagging on gossip, love, sex advice, and your questions. Produced and recorded in New York City, this is Ask the Boys.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask the Boys, a roundtable show where we answer your Q's so you can play with those A's. A show where we give it to you straight-ish with no chaser. Call into our show with your questions or comments. Our show number is 424-327-5282. That's 4243-ASK-ATB.
In this episode, your privacy is under attack. Grindr was busted for sharing HIV statuses with third-party companies. What this means for you and more. Did satire go too far? We discuss the resurfacing of Roseanne Barr's 2009 photo shoot of her depicted as Hitler. Are anti-bullying programs an attempt to gender brainwash children? One far-right mom seems to believe that's a thing. We discuss how this self-proclaimed homeschool activist mommy needs to be schooled herself. Finally, we wrap up our show with our Q&A. A partner wants to break up with their bipolar girlfriend. We'll give them advice on how to do it safely. A girl is jealous her boyfriend has a wandering eye. Is this normal, or is this a warning sign? Finally, a man hasn't met his boyfriend's friends. Is this an issue with her job, or something more? On this episode of...
Ask the Boys!
I'm Justin, and you may not have heard it, but we just did the Ask the Boys intro like 5 times.
I can smell your Hanukkah cunt all the way over here, hunty. I'm Jordan.
I'm Anthony. I'm drunk.
Did you say honey cunt? Like, what does that mean? Honey cunt.
Like we just celebrated Hanukkah, like, in
December. Oh, my God, Hanukkah. So... Oh, my God. I feel like shit right now. I just said honey cunt on air.
I mean, Easter was on the 1st, so it was my birthday.
And happy Hanukkah birthday.
Is a Jewish holiday, so I can smell all your Hanukkahs in this fucking room.
So we had a fantastically interesting vacation.
So it's been 2 weeks since we've been with you guys. Wow. We've missed you all, but we had to take a vacation because, you know, we work really hard and New York is very stressful and we can't always be here. So we have to leave. So we did that.
And we went to Southern New York, Miami. That's exactly what it was. It was New York with fucking palm trees and sand.
It really fucking was.
Like a home away from home.
Yeah.
It was a home away from home with sun and fucking water. It was great because even though we're in New York and it's springtime, it still feels and looks like winter.
Yeah, there were people with pissy attitudes. Everything was expensive, and the rooms were equally small. Our bathroom was so small that you could stand in the doorway and piss all the way on the other side of the room. That's how small it was. I mean, it was laughable. I jumped on Yelp with a photo and said this was deplorable.
If you were anything taller than 5'9", there's no way you could use the toilet.
If you're
in this
anything
hotel.
Taller than five or no than 4'1", you won't even fit through the doorway. This bathroom.
The toilet was just not for you.
No.
Before you use the bathroom from Alice in Wonderland, there's those little things that say eat me, and you eat it and you shrink down really low so you can use the bathroom.
Okay. Also, the fucking shower didn't even have a door, a sliding door. It was just a piece of glass jutting from the floor.
You're right. Yeah. The whole floor was flooded. Like, we used literally like 20 towels just to make sure that nothing seeped into the bedroom. It was pretty bad. So we had a lot of, as much as we needed this getaway into brighter pastures, aka Miami Beach, we had a lot of travel drama. So a lot of our friends are very spiritual and they blamed it all on this Mercury retrograde bullshit. Do any of you believe into that?
That sounds like a type of gasoline past premium at the gas station. Yeah. So
it's the new BP, you know, fuel grade. It's pretty... No, like, apparently Mercury retrograde affects travel, And when we got back from Miami, I told my friends, hey, we had flight drama, we had rental car drama, we had hotel drama, we had literally every drama imaginable.
Every travel drama you could think of.
Like, girl, it's that Mercury retrograde. Oh. And I'm like staring at them like, what? Did you just, what did we you
had,
say to me?
We had landing the airplane drama. So we were supposed to get back into New York at 2 p.m. We were up at 4:30 for our flight. It got pushed back and delayed so much, we didn't arrive in New York until 7:30, 8 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the day that we flew back was also the day there was 50 mile per hour fucking wind gusts that everyone across the United States could not fly back into New York.
Only in New York.
only fucking New York.
So I was sitting next to Anthony, and as we were flying into New Jersey, that's where we were landing, it was a very rough ride. Everyone was bouncing around, and all of a sudden, we look out the window, and we saw nothing but sky, and then the plane just suddenly fucking turned, and we saw nothing but ground and a bridge coming towards us.
Oh my God, it was so scary!
Everyone on the plane gasped, and I just looked at him, and I said, this is how we go out. This is it.
See,
this is it.
These queens, they're not seasoned travelers like I am. So that was nothing.
I'm a traveler. That was the worst landing I've ever had.
It was crazy.
It was not bad.
And I take several flights.
I mean, Jordan, you say it wasn't bad. I fucking nearly shit myself. It was freaking crazy. If anyone's ever seen Brent Payless' skit, he's like a cartoon comedian. You see a skit on Spirit Airlines and how the freaking airplane does front flips forward. That's how I fucking felt, okay? Girl,
we were like that Ren and Stimpy episode when they were... You know what I'm talking about, Justin. When they were... flying in the air and like that. Oh my God. You have to watch it. All you Mississippi fans.
What made it even funnier for Anthony and I, Jordan, I don't know if you caught this, but like as we were like practically going down with the ship, everyone was getting really, really like, you know, flight sick. And they illuminated the like, you know, batten down the hatches signs. Everyone's hanging on. And then the I guess a guy in the very back stood up because he like had to either fucking shit or vomit. And our extremely gay, over-the-top like flight attendant got on and he said, sir, I see you back there in the black button-down shirt. Sit down. And like everyone turned around and looked at the same time. This poor man sat right back down. Finally, when we landed, I've never seen someone run so fast. It was like an apparition just whooshed right by me. And this man stood up, ran. He was sweating. And he dove into that fucking bathroom like it was the last shit he was ever going to have.
He crop dusted everyone on his way, too.
So imagine having to shit and being called out on an entire airline of people. I felt so bad for him.
Well, overall, it was a great 27th birthday. I'm 27 now. I'm really old. And I'm getting gray hair and everything like that. So it was great. We had a good time.
So 27's old?
Yeah, so that makes me Father Time, Anthony, and you Mother Winter.
I need winter.
So let's jump into the tit. Tit, tonight in tea. Isn't that great? I fucking love it.
That was amazing.
I really like
the guy sipping.
Yeah, that.
Do you want me to play it again?
Yes, please. Yeah.
So the past week, you know, every time before we do a show, there's always some really hot topic of the week. And, you know, we always scourge the internet trying to find some hot topics. When we were in Miami, literally everything hit the fucking fan at once. So we had a plethora of things to pick this week. But we're going to talk about Grindr. So did you guys hear the news about Grindr leaking everyone's HIV statuses?
I did not hear that, but I did hear about Grindr offering, what were they offering for? Like,
so they were offering free HIV testing, based off of, you know, people's, like the last time that they needed to get tested.
Yeah. Yeah. Like reminders, like saying, mm-hmm. hey, you know, it's X amount of
time
months.
For that, it's that time again.
It's time for that thing. But you dug up some really good detail, or dirt, about them sharing data from users, which I just learned like 35 minutes ago. I was completely baffled by that.
So literally a week after Grindr unveiled their effort to remind users to get tested for HIV, it was also discovered that the application was basically telling people, or I'm sorry, the application was actually sharing profile information with third-party companies. And the third-party companies were hired by Grindr to, you know, promote services and to make sure that the service is running smoothly and that kind of thing. And it really, really set off a lot of people. So much so that Grindr, I think this is the first time they've ever issued a public apology.
Yeah.
And the public message they put on their website, and this is reported by Out.com, it says, Grindr has never sold nor ever will sell personal user information, especially information regarding HIV status or last test date, to third parties or advertisers. As a champion of the LGBTQ community, Grindr recognizes and has always recognized that it is up to each person to determine whether they want to publicly disclose their HIV status. We respect each person's decision whether to keep that information private or public. We know that enabling conversations about sexual health is important and it is difficult. And as always, we continue to look for ways to ensure Grindr remains a safe space for all. What are your thoughts on this? And this is a big deal because also, too, you know, this week, Facebook and the whole Cambridge Analytica scandal where all that information was stolen from people and then used during the Trump or for the Trump campaign for the election. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
this is a lot that's been going on in regards to privacy.
Our privacy is gone.
It is. And what bothered me, actually, and they have a video of their apology, too. What bothered me is they kept on reiterating we never sell user data. You don't have to sell the user data. You can give the user data away to a company you hired. So I think that was a kind of a PR play on words.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that's very interesting that you called that out. They're not theoretically selling it. They're not like saying, hey, this data is for sale for $5,000.
Right. They hired a company.
They hired some sort of like contractor or some third party data analytics company to what? Look into
apparently
user accounts and statuses or
no? I think no. Again, I don't work for Grindr, so I'm not really sure on how this works. But I think what they're doing is, you know how you get those advertisements in your inbox.
Yeah.
I think I think that's what these companies are doing. And like we were discussing before the show, you know, here in New York, being a Grindr user, you get a lot of advertisements for HIV studies or local things that are happening. So I think that's basically what these companies are doing.
Now, is this
using that to advertise to us?
Do you guys think this is okay? Breach of privacy, all that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But is it bad?
Yes. And here's my personal understanding or belief of why it's bad. So I view Grindr as a gay bar in the 90s where that's where everyone went to feel safe. And even still, not even the 90s, 2018, that's where you go to feel safe and included. That's our space. And you have... That would be equivalent to someone coming in with a camera and taking pictures of everyone and then walking out and selling those photos. Like, it's a very private thing, especially when it is involving people's medical information. Now, granted, these people do have it public, quote unquote, and I use public loosely because it is still a closed service that you can't just view on the internet, but it is a public status. But at the same time, you have a right to... a little bit of control of who knows that that's like, you know, HIV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because it's public within our community.
Correct.
Not public to the world.
Now, let's take a minute and think about this. So these third-party companies took this data, and now all of a sudden Grindr has manifested this reminder type of function that you can enable to remind you to get tested. Do you think that these third-party companies had anything to do with this reminder service?
Possibly.
Do you think that they use this data to benefit people by noticing statuses of users to, okay, well, we're seeing an influx of a status here or there. Maybe we should implement some sort of reminder system to our users because of this A, B, and C.
They should have been a lot more upfront and clear before. Yes. They should have done a public poll or ask users.
Transparency is key.
It is. Especially
is key in a lot of companies, but they don't typically use transparency.
But at the same time, being gay, transparency is a huge deal because we're not all out. We're DL. We're different shades of the coming out process. My issue with Grindr doing this is they just assumed that it was okay. And we all know when it comes to HIV, that is a conversation you never want to steal from a person. That is something that someone has to feel comfortable with. Now, granted, they probably don't know your name, but it's still your status that they're getting. And I do have a snippet of the audio from the video apology that they sent out. And I want to play this and we'll get a comment on it after.
As I mentioned, Grindr has never, nor would we ever, sell user information, especially about HIV status. The only people who have access to Grindr user information are our trusted contractors who help us roll out new features and deliver relevant messages to our users. They aren't advertisers. They're well-respected companies who take privacy and security as seriously as we do. Over the past 2 days, we've heard your concerns. Your privacy and trust are very important to us. And it's important to me. That's why we're making additional changes to keep this data even more secure. From now on, HIV status data will be isolated from the rest of the information that we have so that it's inaccessible to even our most trusted partners who we work with every day. I've spent the past 10 years fighting for health, safety, and human rights for queer people all over the world. And I came to Grindr because this is a company that's fundamentally linked to our community. That gives us tremendous power to help the community, and that also comes with tremendous responsibility. I want to apologize again from me, as well as the entire Grindr team, for all of the distress that we've caused over the past 2 days. We take this very seriously and invite all your further questions as we work to rebuild your trust.
I'm sorry, I just kept laughing through that because he sounded like some sort of automated system for a telephone company.
I was gonna say, it's like, it sounded like a testimonial from like a fucking like multivitamin or a weight loss pill.
So this came from Jack Harrison Quintana. He's the VP of Social Impact for Grindr.
Yeah. It's just Quintana. Now, my thing is, why didn't they section off HIV data in the first place? Like, this is like a fundamental HIPAA violation, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You know fucking well, they are a for-profit company. They offer a semi-free service with limited functionality. They use this data. They sold this shit, man. They sold this shit. They're not telling us they did, but they sold it because they're a for-profit company.
Yeah.
So I think they hired these contractors.
Right. And so I think the outrage was warranted, and I really do hope that they fix this shit. Now, speaking of outrage, Roseanne Barr.
That was supposed to be her laugh. Because legally, we can't use it because we don't own the rights to her laugh.
What the fuck did I just listen to? That was like, if I can give you an image, the devil mixed in with the witch from The Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Like,
this is true.
Kind of like that one chick from that I did watch the episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. What's her name? The one with the black hair?
Miss Vanjie?
No.
Miss Vanjie.
The Michelle?
Massage.
Yeah, Michelle, so that was a...
Michelle Miss Vanjie.
There you go. So Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr. No, Barr with a B.
So we can't even use her fucking name.
Roseanne Vanjie.
I wanted to highlight this story. It was from the 4th that it was published on...
it was E! News, wasn't it? Or Entertainment E! News, Weekly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or EW, whatever.
Whatever. Entertainment, fill in the
fucking
blank.
There was an E. Yeah.
So this story was quite a surprise to me because, you know, Roseanne, us Midwesterners, us small town people, we watched this bitch growing up. I know I did. My parents hated her, but I really connected with this girl. I don't know what it was about her, but I loved the you know, small town, like, low income family dynamic that she portrayed throughout the early 90s. But now her show has come back. I've seen the first two episodes. I laughed my ass off. I'm very happy about the revival. But there has been some things that have resurfaced. So back in 2009, it says here that Roseanne Barr was part of a photo shoot, apparently, where she was depicted as Hitler. She was dressed up as Hitler. She had the swastika on her right bicep, the mustache, hair combed back, in a dark green military attire, holding a tray of what it appears to be
burnt gingerbread cookies,
gingerbread Jews.
Oh,
right. Now, these are very controversial photos, and it was taken back in 2009 for a magazine photo shoot.
Yeah, it was a Jewish publication, wasn't it?
Is it Hebe or Ebe?
I think it's Hebe.
Hebe magazine.
Like Hebrew? Hebe
magazine, yep. It's a Jewish publication that ran from 2001 to 2010, excuse me.
That last year, man, I think Roseanne did a man.
So,
oh my God.
This kind of is interesting because a lot of the comments from the people that are very upset about this are like, well, why isn't this show taken off the air? Why isn't Roseanne fired from her new sitcom reboot? Like Kathy was, or
oof, yeah.
Yeah, you Kathy Griffin, when Kathy, for those that didn't know, reamed. Kathy Griffin is a stand-up comedian. She's a shock comedian. Was holding up a fake mannequin head of Donald Trump, and it was bloody. Like she cut his head off, and it blew up. Yeah. There was so much outrage. She got fired from a lot of things. She was kicked off CNN for the New Year special, like she always does. So a lot landed on her shoulders.
This was dug up because a lot of, you know, people love drama. People loved, like, scavenging for some sort of tabloid piece to ruin new artists and actors, because this show has all-time high ratings. Like, the reboot was very, very successful. So there's people out there that want to ruin it. So there's a lot of people out there saying, hey, we want to boycott ABC. We want to take her off the air. We want to fire her ass, just like Kathy was. So I want to just gain your thoughts, guys, on what you think about this. Because I don't really agree with this, like, you know, these photos and everything. I think it's shitty that she did this to begin with. But they're calling for a satire. Like, this is a satire. It's like not really.
You dive in, Anthony.
I think it's just not. And I know that it's never going to be, but it's not the right time. That's not the kind of joke that we make. Not now, and hopefully really not ever. There are some tragedies that we can take and we can spin and we can have fun with later on. That was a lot. That was more than a tragedy. That was complete devastation of a culture, of a people. That's not something to joke about.
Yep. Because a lot of the execs and the co-showrunner, Bruce Helford, he is encouraging people to just, like, forget about this. Like, disregard all these photos.
It never happened.
It never happened. Yeah, he said that Roseanne's a very strong supporter of Israel, and the feelings of the show that, you know, they should just judge it for themselves. Watch it without accompanying any background noise. So,
clear my throat here. Wait a minute. Pause. I don't care how fucking strong of a supporter she is for Israel. I hate that fucking excuse. People that say homophobic shit. Well, I have gay family. Okay, but you were still a homophobic piece of shit in that moment. People that say racist shit, well, I have a black friend and I support black people. No, you were a racist piece of shit in that moment. You can support Israel all you fucking want. You were a fucking asshole in that moment. So, yeah. I'm sorry. It's one thing to be satirical playing Hitler, okay? Like the producers, they made fun of Hitler in the movie Producers, in the stage show Producers. So, yeah, it's one thing to make fun of Hitler. but being Hitler and pulling out a tray of burnt Jewish gingerbread cookies,
I mean,
that's
really
the fucked up part. Like, that is where you push the envelope. And Kathy Griffin deserved the outrage. I will say this. I am not a fan of Donald Trump at all. It's one thing to, like, depict and be a shock comedian, but, like, showcasing you cutting off somebody's head, like, they actually do that kind of shit in the world today. So, yeah, she deserved the backlash. Maybe not as much as she should have, but she deserved the backlash. Roseanne Barr deserves the backlash in this. This is a very serious thing. You know, shame on that magazine for thinking that if you're a Jewish publication, why the fuck are you including that in your Jewish publication? Like, I'm glad they kind of shut down after 2010 because people probably boycotted that shit afterwards.
It's crazy.
So she says here, quote unquote, "That's what I'm trying to say. It's like Jesus fucking Christ. Every day now, Holocausts. It's like baking cookies. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's stop Holocausts." I don't know what she meant by that quote.
I think she, so listening to that, I think she's trying, because everyone just bakes a tray of cookies on Sunday. Like, you know, just, I'm cooking dinner tonight. Like, it's the normal thing. I don't know what she's trying to say, though, in conjunction with the, like, what do you mean every day's the Holocaust? I don't get that. Like to who? For what? Like, this is a bad decision, and I'm glad it bit her in the ass, because it should have bit her in the ass in 2009.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know why these didn't resurface more. Maybe because Roseanne wasn't very mainstream until just now. I mean, ABC has done a lot to make this show very relevant in Instagram and like Facebook and all those things. So now I guess it's just been dug up. You know, people are trying to like take people down all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's one thing to mudsling, but it's another thing to point out somebody fucked up when it should be pointed out. I mean, it's not like her, like, Roseanne Barr's nudes were leaked or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be really weird. But these are photos that she willingly took and supported. Like, she sat through makeup. She sat through wardrobe that fitted her with a Nazi uniform.
Yep.
Like, she held the tray of cookies through the 56 takes it takes on a photo shoot. Like, she was a willing, active participant through this entire thing. So a lot of this falls on her shoulders.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, nonetheless, I really hope that the show continues on. Have you ever watched Roseanne, any of you?
No, I have, but I'm not a fan.
I love it so much. It's the first two episodes are really, it's very political driven.
We can tell.
It's obviously based off of this photo too, but like apparently Roseanne's a Trump supporter and her sister Jackie is a Hillary supporter. It's just pretty, it's pretty cool. Anyone out there, just check it out. I mean, aside from this shit here.
So we are going to cut to a short commercial break here, and then we're going to be back to answer. We're going to be back to talk about a mother that's in the news for gender blending anti-bullying programs.
Here goes activist mommy. But first,
this episode is brought to you by Levent's line of sex toys. Levent's is a line of state-of-the-art sex toys that can be controlled by each partner through the internet. They offer a wide variety of toys, including internet-enabled butt plugs, vibrators, masturbation sleeves, all to fit any occasion. They are constructed using soft and comfortable silicone material and are all fully rechargeable. Levent's toys comes with many features for solo play, remote play, and most exciting, new sync features. With syncing, you can finally pair your love session to the beat of your favorite song, to the thrusts in your favorite porn, or, for all you cam stars out there, your viewers can sync the tips they donate to your toy for a fully interactive cam session. Right now, you can score a heavy discount on their most popular pair, Max and Nora, on sale now for $199, regularly $398, or the Hush set for gay men, regularly $239, but yours today for $178. All sales come in discreet packaging, a year warranty, and a secure and easy checkout process. Check out Levent's at levents.com/asktheboys, and we thank them for being a part of our amazing podcast.
Now,
Levent's. Oh, I can't. I think I'm going to buy a pair.
I just ordered three.
We should do, like we were mentioning before, a live show where each one of us controls a Levent's product and randomly spike somebody else's ass.
I love a good spike ass.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I think it is.
Spike my asshole.
But yeah, we greatly appreciate Levent's going out of their way and setting up a special URL on their website for our show. And your support of Levent's also supports the show. So thank you, everyone, and thank you, Levent's.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So activist mommy, Anthony.
Activist mommy. Speaking of Levent's, let's switch over to someone who needs at least two of those Levent's toys so that she can get her rocks off and get off of our rocks. Elizabeth Johnston, here she goes again. This is that same activist mommy who Justin pointed out to me earlier. Her video went viral for burning a copy of Teen Vogue in protest last year. Well, she's back again. And this time she's claiming that all of these beautiful health classes and these sex ed classes we're having in school is actually a guise. It is a concert of working together by Human Rights Campaign, LGBT organization, and Planned Parenthood. And what they're doing is they're sneaking into school in sex education, sneaking into teaching children how to foreplay and perform oral sex and perform anal sex while calling it abstinence class. She claims that they hide these sections so well so they don't get researched. Here's the kicker.
How the fuck does she know?
Yeah, here's the kicker. They're doing this all in public schools, and she is so gung-ho about it, but she homeschools her children. So how in the hell does she have an inkling of what's going on in a public school? What a shit show.
So if I may, before we dive into this, you should be a fucking audiobook narrator, because that read something that was like, I laughed, I cried, I was on the edge of my fucking seat. So thank you.
I'll edge you anytime, honey.
So, yeah.
Here we go. I'm sorry. Here's another little piece for you guys to take in and mull this around, okay? She's also claiming that the Human Rights Campaign is encouraging kids to question their gender through anti-bullying programs.
Okay. Huh. I would love to get an explanation of that connection.
Connect four, because I don't get it.
I'm going to need to buy a vowel. Or another chip, at least, because I'm so fucking confused on that segue. But
Vanna White, could you point this out for me?
Oh, she's lost.
Her quote, teaching kids how to masturbate with each other and engage in oral sex. Or anal sex, sorry.
Yeah, oral and anal.
Shouldn't that be a part of every type of sex ed? I mean, okay, so how the fuck do you have sex ed without talking about sex? That's like having
sexual education now it's all about Planned Parenthood and abstinence, isn't it?
Like that is like teaching a cooking class and just saying, today we're going to teach you how to bake a cake. It's done. And you're like, what? I still have flour and eggs in front of me. What did this cake come from? Yeah. You know, like your goal in sex education is supposed to teach people the act of having sex safely.
Mm-hmm.
Abstinence is a form of birth control because you're literally not fucking doing it, but it's not the end all be all of sexual education.
No.
Where there's a hole, a dick can fill it.
Oh, honey. Even if it's the, oh, well, you know, I'm not even going to go there. I was going to say, even if it's not in a fucking person, it's not the fucking point. This is absurd.
I mean, Anthony's holes are all corked up right now besides his mouth for this podcast.
There goes one of the corks.
Pop the champagne, bitch. The cork's flying across the room. But
I'm just staring at her picture.
Oh.
Look where she lives. Like in the middle of the forest. She's burning a teen. She's burning
she
a teen
in the woods.
Her roots are terribly done.
Like, well, her roots are horrible.
Well, you can tell she doesn't have gay friends.
Yeah, well.
No one would ever, a gay man would never let her leave the house with those roots.
No, honey, she has no friends. Look at this bitch. That's why she homeschools her kids. She was embarrassed of what she procreated.
It is so funny how she has the audacity to say what is happening within sex ed classes, and she fucking homeschools her kids. Where's this bitch getting her information from? Teen Vogue? No.
So I love this. She actually references the Human Rights Campaign website as proof. And because the quote from the Human Rights Campaign is, for LGBTQ youth to experience comparable health benefits to their non-LGBTQ peers, sex education programs must be LGBTQ inclusive. Which right. just means yes. that we have to be kind, we have to be open, we have to be considerate.
And it's not Instantly, happening. It's not it's happening not, right now.
It's not happening.
It's not going to happen for... I'm not sure how many years.
At least it's not going to happen as long as the Republicans are controlling a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And,
yeah.
But here's what's very interesting. If you look at the world when it comes to sexual education and pregnancy rates, everything like that, in parts of this country that are very conservative, that push a abstinence-only type of sexual education, the teen pregnancy rates skyrocket. Every single place. Any place that has very poor sexual education statistics has a high rate of sexually transmitted diseases. So yep. you have these issues because you are not teaching people the correct way to do something.
You and as are, we, yeah.
And as we've stated on this show many a times before, where are these kids and where is everyone, literally, going to learn this shit? They are learning it by watching pornography. That's how I learned a lot of this
shit. That's
how
I learned it too, girl.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And that's
fucked. We had an episode on it. It's the truth.
And that is fucked because that is the most, I mean, everyone has seen these far-fetched studio porns. It's like, stick it in my butthole. Like, it's like, that doesn't happen in real life. Nobody fucks the accountant on their desk.
This is all they have to go off of because they're not learning this appropriately where they need to be learning it. The reason why Justin mentioned that these statistics are skyrocketing in these regions is because they are practicing celibacy. You know, they're reading the fucking Bible. I don't know what the fuck they're doing in sex ed class. There's probably not even sex ed classes anywhere in these regions.
No, and if anything, it scares them and restricts them. And when exactly. we get restricted, we want to do it more.
But what are we? We are animals who are born to procreate. We need to learn how to properly have sex and properly control our sexual
and at
urges.
The same time, how to have sex without the act of procreation.
Yes, exactly. That's also a way, that's a form of sex.
Exactly.
It's a form of sex to have. Sex education shouldn't be all inclusive. Just like, and don't get me wrong, it should be because of the LGBT. We should definitely be included. But it shouldn't be all inclusive just because of the LGBTQ community. It should be all inclusive because everyone practices sex. And everyone from the heterosexual end of the spectrum to the gayest end of the spectrum practices the raunchiest type of sex. I have met heterosexual males that like to go to dungeons and get beat and whipped where a gay man wouldn't even touch that. Like, and vice versa. Like, it's not whether you're gay or straight. We need this education.
Where have you met these people?
Sounds like we have a live show to do in a dungeon.
Let's just say that I have other work outside of here.
Oh, shit.
I just think it's fucking crazy.
And it goes back to, you know, if you're told not to do something, what are you going to do?
You're going to want
to
do it more.
You're going to want to fucking do it, man.
Don't press the red button. We're going to press the fucking red button.
1 + 1 = 2. Not 4 or 6. 2.
2.
Simple mathematics.
2. A pair. As in Max and Nora on sale for $190.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you,
but yeah, get that pair today. No, but it's so fucking true. Think of this, and I know, Justin, you can attest to this. Think of this. We all ride the MTA. Every MTA in every fucking car has that stupid red dangling line saying emergency brake. And every single instruction next to that emergency brake, every last one, the train could be exploding, says do not pull that emergency brake. So what the fuck do people do?
They pull it all the time.
They pull it all the time.
Yeah, time.
And you're stuck underground for over an hour.
Yeah, You're just like, am I dead? Did I fucking die here? It's over.
And, you know, here's because I read this article earlier last week, and I'm glad we talked about it on the show. But I told one of my colleagues, I was like, hey, you know, the reason why homophobia and stuff like this is so prevalent in these small communities is fear and lack of experience learning about other people and meeting other people. You know, you're blessed when you live in New York because you hear every language. You've seen every religion. I've met somebody mm-hmm. from every country at this point. You get to experience these things. You look at one car on any subway here, and there is more diversity in that than states, multiple states combined.
Oh, combined.
So you have somebody who is probably homeschooled herself that was taught about sex from her parents, which is can be very, very awkward. And then their kids don't have this experience of living outside the bubble. And if this is the belief that the mother probably has close friends of the family that also believe like that too. So the only people these children are meeting are people that have these exact same views.
Yeah.
So homophobia is a learned behavior. You fear the other because you've never met the other.
Yes.
And it just goes back to how vast this country is. This is a beautiful country we live in, but it's so vast. And so there's remote areas where, you know what I mean? People don't experience any of this, ever.
Here's the thing. Here's a little newsflash for you. I know a lot of our listener base is gay, but we also have a lot of straights here, too. Guys, we're doing the exact same thing you're doing, okay? Like, you just don't you have a front butt, okay? We got a dick. And a butt and a mouth. And we know straights are sucking it off. Okay. You lick that shit like lollipops. We know you guys are sitting there eating ass because y'all made a song about eating booties like groceries. Okay. That was your doing, not ours. So we know you're
not us.
You're eating the ass just like we're eating the ass. You're eating the ass in the placemat next to us at the dinner table. And we know you guys are doing it up the butt. We know you're doing it up the butt. You know why? Because we have girlfriends. And every female has said the boyfriend has tried to put it in the pooper and it hurt. So we know that y'all are doing it, and we've always given you ladies tips on how to relax it. But what I'm saying is y'all are doing the same fucking thing.
Yep.
All right. So we're not doing some weird fucking like rain dance where it just starts like
the all moon, of a sudden sex falls from the sky.
Like the moon's just aligned. All of a sudden we just all raise up in the air and our fucking eyes turn black. Like it's not how we do it. We're literally as fucking boring in bed as both of you guys are. So, yeah.
Now, here's the punchline, because in reality, this bitch is a joke. The punchline is that she's going to have her sex ed sit out where she wants parents to pull their public school, their kids from public school for one day, right? Her beautiful, amazing protest that she will not be participating in because her kids are homeschooled. I cannot.
What are they going to walk out of the house and sit in the front yard?
We're not having this.
It's not a sit-in, it's a sit-out.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Christ. Oh,
I can't.
All right. Questions. after all that, some questions.
All right, so we got some questies.
You want to take here
from our listies. All right, so question one. So there's this girl I met online, and we've chatted, so I knew she was real, and we ended up getting into a serious relationship. Here's his problem. I want to end the relationship, but I promised her I'd never leave her. She has bipolar disorder, oh fuck, and Jeez. And I've had to talk her out of killing herself 4 fucking times. I want to end things without hurting her. I feel like I'm trapped. Please help.
Damn. This is deep. This is deep.
That is a lot.
So, disclaimer.
4
we
fucking
are,
times. We are, yeah we're not.
We're not doctors. We're not therapists. So, we have to have this disclaimer anytime we have some very serious advice that this is just friendly advice, but we do advise you to see a doctor, if someone's fearing for their lives or you think someone's going to be suicidal, reach out to the police. Our advice, and I'll go first since I just did the disclaimer. Do not let somebody else control you emotionally. It's very possible to be in an emotionally abusive relationship. You know, I really hope that she does get help with her bipolar disorder, but her issues cannot become ankle cuffs, like a ball and chain keeping you in one place.
Right.
It's been known out there for people to use suicide or something like that as a way to keep their partner a slave in the relationship and keep them here. Yeah.
Kind of hook them in.
Hook them in. So yeah. I would say if you've had to talk her out of killing herself four times, you need to call the police. The police need to intervene. You know, police officers do have a protocol that if someone is going to harm themselves, they do forcefully take them into custody and bring them to a mental health facility for evaluation. So I would say definitely do that. You may want to look into a restraining order if it's getting really out of character, but you need to think of yourself at this point.
I give it to this guy to have lasted four times.
Yeah.
After the first threat of suicide, I don't even know what I would do. You guys, I would call the police right away. But four times. Yeah. And I want to know if this girl is local or if she is some sort of cyber fuck buddy that they just, you know,
hang
together.
I'm unsure because it says I met her online in the video chat. So I would assume that they probably aren't literally physically local. There. Yeah. I think this is an online relationship, which if it's the case, that makes it easier for
you. Turn off the computer.
Yeah.
Well, we know now that he's actually a decent guy because he's asking for advice. He doesn't.
Good for you.
Because he could fucking leave this bitch and like delete her from his life and not even give it two shits. But he's literally trying to help this person.
Right.
So
he's trying to be retroactive.
Good for you. I would side with Justin on this one. Yeah. What about you, Anthony?
I agree. And I think that it's important to call out then if this is the case where you are physically not together, you know, make sure that you are aware and know her location so that when you do call authorities, you can give the right information to get her help.
Right.
And you know what? It might suck for you, especially if you've had a bond with this person, because they are probably going to feel betrayed at first. But in the long run, this is going to save their life if this is an actual issue, and they will thank you later for it.
So I'll do question two. I get it. Most everyone has eyes, and if they're lucky, they see things. Sometimes people, when they are in the line of sight, but what I'm referring to in this post is deliberate and extended stares, in which I'm going to classify as checking out. I'm a 24-year-old female, and I've always had an issue with my boyfriend, who's 25, checking out other girls as we are in public together. I have been telling him since we've started dating, about a year and a half ago, that it makes me uncomfortable, and we've had numerous fights about it. I understand that it is harmless in nature and doesn't mean anything, but it makes me feel bad about myself. I do not even have the desire to check out other guys, and even if I did, if he asked me to stop, then I would out of respect my significant other and my relationship. Am I overreacting by getting upset about this? Yes, the fuck and you are.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Girl. Take it.
Holy
easy.
Shit. Jesus, take the wheel because she can't drive anymore. Let me tell you. What is he supposed to wear, one of those fucking dog cones on his neck where he can't even see past the brim and have like fucking tunnel vision? Like, come on.
You should just be happy that your boyfriend can still get it up. All right. Clearly he has a sex drive and he wants to fuck. So you should just
be happy
that
he
wants to fuck.
I don't even think it is.
No, he's just probably looking around because people are walking by.
That's the thing. What is he supposed to have, like a fucking cane and wear sunglasses?
You're talking about a 25-year-old male. Come on, honey.
I know that he's checking people. Here's my thing. And she's
a damn liar.
I want to take her word for it, but you know damn well she checks people out.
She was watching Twilight at one point and got moist. I'm not even going to lie. You know, you can look at someone and say, you know what, that is a genuinely attractive person. I've looked at straight men who I've known are straight and say, you know what, they're hot as fuck. But that's it. Yeah. It's just a look. He's not walking up and fucking bouncing her tits. Like, that's when I would say I'd be against it. But
there is a fear, there could be excessive staring. Maybe she failed to highlight this.
Well, she basically
just excessive staring.
She said, I understand this is harmless in nature and it doesn't mean anything. Like, you literally solved your own fucking question.
Yeah. And honestly, it seems like this is something that you really want out of a relationship. Like, you want someone that's focused only on you. You don't want him to even look in another direction. He's probably not going to stop looking at other people. No. Like, that's...
So I understand what she's talking about here, because she says, but it makes me feel bad about myself. She's a female. She's emotional. She is very self-conscious, probably, about herself in this day and age, as I am as well. I definitely can relate to this girl. I mean, if I was with my man and he was constantly looking at other dudes at the bar or club or out, I would feel like I was ugly. But, like, he wanted that person instead of me.
But see, here's the bottom line that you have to realize. He's with you, and he's been with you for a year and a half. So staring at someone walking by in, like, for the 5 seconds, or the let's play devil's advocate, 15 seconds, that's still not even close to the year and a half that he's physically, mentally, and emotionally been with you.
But she's saying deliberate and extended stares. Deliberate,
I mean,
and extended.
He watches porn. That's staring.
That's deliberate.
Does he? Where does it say porn?
Well, I mean... Hello.
If he doesn't, he needs help. No, like,
I mean, was he raised in fucking, you know, missionary mom or whatever the fuck her name is?
Right here.
Activist mommy. Missionary mom should be the fucking title missionary of this episode.
Missionary mom.
Anthony actually stars in that film.
We call it Eminem for short.
No, guys, I really can relate to this girl. You know, in an age of social media, Instagram, and, you know, appearance is every fucking thing. In this age group, come on. I mean, I would definitely be alarmed by this. Like, I would offer some advice. I mean, if you think this is excessive and you've been together for 1.5 years, fucking talk to him. If you have a good rapport with your boyfriend, if you feel comfortable talking to him, be like, hey. This has become an excessive issue for me. I love you. You love me, hopefully. What is up? Like, am I not providing enough sexual, you know, shit in the bedroom? Or am I not attractive enough? Because I need to know to move on with my life.
Let me toss something back at you, because you brought up a really good point in the day and age that we are, especially with social media.
Yeah, it's
terrible. Okay. So then, all right. So then she and her lover, you and your lover, whatever the case is, you're in your room now. You're on your phone, you're on Facebook, and you look over, and this person's on Instagram liking pictures of other people. Like, not like, oh, I'm going to fuck you, but liking pictures of attractive people.
So you're talking about an issue? My boyfriend is liking pictures of other people.
Yes.
No. It is not an issue.
So that's interactive.
Depending on what they're liking. If it's shirtless pictures, if it's couples, if it's like gay, masculine, homoerotic photos, then I would be a little concerned. Like, why are you liking all this shit? Or if it's like puppies and like cruises and cars and maybe like Mexico.
You know what the fuck I'm talking about?
It sounds like Instagram needs a relationship feature where when it's enabled, it just blocks everything besides cruises and puppies and cars. It's just white boxes.
Yeah, and you.
Yeah. It's just literally the same pictures you scroll.
I know myself well enough as if I were in a relationship and if I were looking at somebody, if I were looking at men, if I were on Instagram like double tapping a lot of shirtless gay couples, whatever the fuck, and I was with somebody, there may be something wrong with my current relationship.
Let me make a suggestion. Right now on LaVents, there is a 2-pack for $190. They are both remote controlled over the internet. You put one up his ass. She has one up her front snatch. And y'all both have the remotes. If he's looking the other way, it's like a dog on a shock collar. You just bzz, and he just, oh, what was that jolt? Sweetie, that was LaVents. So you just shock him back into the line of sight.
You thought Nick and Nora had an infinite playlist. Max and Nora have infinite orgasms. No, but I do. I do. To Jordan's point, like, I understand, like, kind of where you're coming from, but there needs to be a point where, like, I know I'm going to go onto Instagram and I'm going to fucking like something. Now, if he goes on to your, like, if I'm in a relationship with someone and they're going through and they like all these gay pictures and these topless pictures and all this bullshit, I'm fine. If he now goes into your personal specific profile and starts liking all of your personal pictures and like all this, now we have a problem. Because he's going into one single person and he's like, oh, I like this person, obviously. But if you're just going through liking men, bitch, you like men. I like men too.
So doesn't that go back to like, you know, equating to deliberate and extended stares of other random people?
Listen, the way I do the way that I do my shit is, if you're going to stare, I'm going to stare too. All right. If you're going to double tap on Insta, I'm going to double tap on Insta. I get turned on a little bit by this because here's the thing. Humans are very animalistic. We are. And looking at my partner, looking at someone else sometimes and getting that little hint of jealousy is fucking hot, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I know he's revved up right now and he's going to fucking pound me out in the bedroom. Oh, he's yes. going to fucking, he's going to be savage on this ass. And I'm going to be savage.
Decimation.
And I'm going to be savage on that ass too. So like my relationship dynamic is we've said this before. I'm really cool with even opening up the dynamic. So right. Yeah, with a little bit of harmless like side eye, I'm cool with that.
Maybe she should have this what we call communication with her boyfriend and be a little less of a prude.
That's the
and
thing.
And see if maybe 1.5 years is a long time in
straight world
day and age, in straight world, gay world, whatever fucking world you want to live. 1.5 years, if they're not like living in Wyoming, they should literally probably experiment.
Open up.
You know, have some other guy cuckolding. There we go.
And confidence is sexy. Please, like, work. The number one thing you got to work on right now, ma'am, is you need to work on your self-confidence.
Ma'am.
Because after a while, like, if you're this jealous, it's just going to metastasize into every little thing that he does is going to bother you. It's going to, this is a red flag right now. It's going to ruin your relationship. And you're the one who's initiating all these arguments. So work on your self-confidence. Understand that he is with you, not with Becky walking by. And, you know.
Even if she got good hair.
Yeah. And you're good.
And remember that if you do double tap on my Instagram, both my Max and my Nora will go off. Let's go on to question number 3. I have a partner of 2 years, and I still have not met any of his friends. I always ask him when I'll be meeting his friends to help me know him more as a person. He always ditches the idea of me meeting his friends or relatives. As a little background, he is not out to anyone but me and my friends. I can't help but be paranoid at times, since at the first part of our relationship, we had some issues on cheating. Well, I need help on how I should handle the paranoid situation better. I always feel insecure whenever this issue comes up. I feel like, is it because of my job? I am a customer service rep and he is an engineer. Or is it because I didn't finish college? Finishing college is a thing here where I'm from. Or do I have trust issues? I badly need some advice.
Ding, 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 ding. Trust issues. D, all the above.
Trust issues. Yeah. Yeah.
So dissect this. This is
2 years
thing.
Though. Oh my god.
But he's not out.
That's the big thing. Like it says here, he is out. He's not out to anyone but me and my friends. Okay, that means he's not out to his fucking friends. So like,
yeah. What is he gonna do? Introduce his boyfriend? Hey guys. And I know we were talking about chicks yesterday, but this is my man.
And I've been in DL relationships where my boyfriend wasn't out, and I've met his friends, and I've been introduced as his friend. And I mean, that didn't bother me because I understood the situation and where he was in his process of coming out. But like, maybe he's not ready. Maybe this guy, and as horrible as this sounds, maybe he's like clockable. Maybe you can tell that he's gay and he doesn't want to maybe use that as a way of being a red flag for him to possibly be gay.
Yep.
But what do you think, Jordan?
2 years? What the fuck?
You're still on the 2 years.
Yes. I'm like, I you know, praise this dude for staying with him for 2 years and not, I don't know. The fact that he's still, like, quote unquote, in the closet with everybody else except him and his friends is a little concerning.
Like, but we don't know their age.
I don't know this. If age is really a factor here.
I think it is.
Honey, yeah, if he's in the closet and in high school.
Well, like, they're engineer, not in high school because they're in college. They're
okay,
in
college. To be an engineer.
Yeah, engineer and fucking job. You're right. Let me stop.
An engineer, you have to at least have 8+ years of post, you know, graduate bullshit stuff. So he's at least in his mid-30s.
Now, as far as the job situation goes, I will say this. There is a hetero stereotype that will not die, that the man needs to be the breadwinner of the family. And I think that's where his insecurity of his job is coming into play. Because his partner is making all this money as an engineer and he feels he's not making it. I think that's a thing that needs to die. Like,
right.
It does not matter who's the breadwinner at this point in 2018. We have single families. We have, you know, same-sex families. Everyone, the mother can make the bread. Both partners can make the bread. Like, your job, you have a job. That's end of story. Like, that's the important thing. But don't compare jobs. I think that's a way of putting yourself down in that case. I don't think that's the point here.
Honey, you're dating a fucking engineer.
Engineer.
You yeah. have nothing to worry
right?
about.
Right? Like, you're going to retire early. Like,
you could just, well, yes, honey. I would love to be with an engineer right now. Ugh.
He can deconstruct that bussy.
Yes.
Oh, deconstruct and reupholster. Oh, here's one thing that concerns me about this. 2 years, he's not out, right? But as we're dissecting this and looking and saying, okay, well, they have to be older. What concerns me is that he says that in the beginning of their relationship, they dealt with cheating. Which, I mean, it's already a little bit intense because how are you not even out the closet and you're already cheating? Calm the fuck down. But it makes me then, and I'm going to be honest, question, is this person really not out or are they just living a double life?
That's valid. That is valid. And I wish we had more. I wish this person called in because then we could really ask these questions.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's a valid thing. I would say that the cheating... And the mixture of the cheating that happened in the past and your perceived attractiveness based on your job title, I think is what's really eating you up inside. I don't think so much it's about meeting the friends as it you trying to come to a conclusion. Like, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, is the saying goes.
Mm-hmm. I think we have two questions here.
Mm.
Or two situations.
Yeah.
Two problems. There's two... I'm still stuck on the 2 years, you guys. I'm sorry. I completely forgot about the rest of this question. Cause...
You just keep saying two. There's just two years.
I'm sorry. I think that he needs to help. Because 2 years, again, is a long time in the gay community. 8 fucking months is a long time. 2 years is like 5,000 years in a heterosexual relationship. I think
yeah,
that
I'm
he
exhausted
needs,
thinking about it.
I know, I'm already I'm going to bed. But I need for him to talk and help his boyfriend becoming more comfortable with himself, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one problem. You probably have this he probably has a whole repertoire of friends that you could meet, or what about the family, sisters, cousins, like there's a whole other world that you don't even know about him yet. And it's been two years, man.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
That's deep.
Maybe sit down and formulate a game plan, like a timetable.
If you want something to move forward, you need him to be comfortable with himself in every facet of his life.
Right.
Every facet. But that's my recommendation. You guys can talk about the second half because I don't...
Even closet doors open automatically nowadays. Let's get it together.
Buttons, remote controls, they can open up shit.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. That about wraps it up for our 24th episode of Ask the Boys. Don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting service so you can download every new episode as we release it.
It sounded like you were letting go a kegel. You're like, as we... Release. We're releasing this stream coming right at you.
Oh, and since we're doing Kegels, that cum is spraying. Trust me, you want it stashed in your pockets and in many more places. Also, go ahead and follow us on Facebook. Justin, what's our Facebook page?
It is facebook.com/AskTheBoys.
And we also have an Instagram. And Jordan, what's our Instagram page?
Is at AskTheBoysPodcast, hunty.
Yes. And we also have a Twitter page. And that's at AskTheBoys. And don't forget that, guys, you can look up our videos on YouTube. Make sure you search for them. Search with Ask the Boys. Watch them and subscribe so we can get that beautiful Ask the Boys vanity plate. And honey, don't you forget to visit lovents.com/AskTheBoys for all of your pleasuring needs.
Until next week, I'm Justin.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm wet. And my name's Anthony.
He's the missionary mom.
Good night, y'all.
Night.
Want to be on the show? Call us at 424-327-5282. That's 4243. Ask ATB.